Today is Father's Day that we're going to speak about for a moment or two, but we always like to honor our fathers and on Sunday service. And again, that thing's in the bulletin. Would you read that, Carol, about Father's Day, how it got started? I think it's pretty decent.
It says, on July 5th, 1908, a West Virginia church sponsored the nation's first event in honor of fathers. It was a Sunday sermon in memory of the 362 men who had died in the previous December's explosion at the Fairmont Coal Company mine in, maybe you know how to say this name, Monoga? It's in West Virginia. I don't know how, but she used to live there. That's why I asked her. I don't know how to say that word, that city. But it was a one-time commemoration and not an annual holiday. And when I had read about it in December, it said 362 men, and that was a lot. Like, the majority of that community had passed away in that explosion in the coal mines. And so they had a sermon that July 5th. They had a sermon and honored all the fathers. Well, since it wasn't an annual event, it says the next year in Spokane, Washington, a woman named Sonora Smart Dodd, she was one of six children raised by a widower. And she wanted to honor all the male parents because they were having Mother's Day that year. That was the start of Mother's Day. So she wanted to honor her father, who was a widower. And so she went around all the churches. It said she even went to, like, the Salvation Army's, the YMCA's. Mm. And she went to her government officials to start the yearly holiday for fathers.
Oh, awesome. Mm. Amen. I know Father's Day can bring back a lot of good memories, or bring back memories, and I know a lot of fathers, when you look back and we see a lot of things maybe we want to do different in our life, you know. I mean, how different my life would have been if back when our children was born that I was a Christian, you know, if I knew the Master as my Savior, my Lord. I mean, I'm not sure how. There's been a lot of different things, you know, a lot more involvement in church activities, take my kids back and forth and being with them. But, you know, I come to know Christ when I was 43 years old, and I could not go back and change the things in the past. Just go forward. And maybe here today, maybe your dad, your earthly father, that maybe in your eyes he had a lot of deficiencies, and maybe when you think about Father's Day, maybe it doesn't be that joyful. But, you know, please remember, I don't know your daddy. I don't know what he walked through. I don't know what your dad's life was before when he was a kid. And, you know, can be a lot of generation stuff going on. But the awesome thing is, number one, you're sitting here today. So I'm assuming you come to know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, which makes your Heavenly Father your Father. John 1, I think 1:10, 1:12 says that those who receive Jesus Christ become a child of God. You know? And so one thing for sure, as your Father brought you into this world because God wanted you here, number one, okay? And maybe you were told that you're a mistake or but, you know, not in God's eyes. Understand that. Not in the eyes of God. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, you know the plan and the purpose he has for you from the very beginning. And he's your daddy and your mama, but to bring you into the world for that plan and purpose to take place. And so, that's one thing to be thankful that you get breath today and you know Jesus and you know the Lord. And I know sometimes things in the past might make it difficult, maybe to forgive the things in the past, but the Lord is, we can, you know, with Christ all things are possible. And again, that's what we focus on. And for yourself, again, don't look in the past for yourself, what you've done. Look toward the future, you know. I mean, you could have been the world's greatest father, man. You had the best job and drive all the cars and big houses and all this awesome stuff, you know. And your kids at 16 got their license, you gave them Camaros and Corvettes and stuff like that, you know. All that stuff. But the greatest thing you can give your child is love and Christ in you. You realize that maybe that was your life. That maybe you were financially blessed to be able to do all that. It was no problem. But the greatest thing you ever give your children is your love and your prayers. Praying for your children today is more beneficial than all the money in the world. You know? And so God brought us around to this, you know. Was that Brother Jim? Well, right. And to pray for them, I mean, at least we're here where we're at today and go forward. You know? It's an awesome thing. And I think of God. And you ever try to tell your kids something and they won't listen to you? It's funny in a way. I mean, it's just, I know my dad would, and to me, of course, my dad was my world. I mean, he was the greatest dad in the world. And you'll probably say something about yours. Well, he was the greatest dad until I came along, but you know, no. And I'll tell you, he knew everything, okay? But I wouldn't listen to him half the time. You know, it's funny, he would tell me something, you know, okay, and this is when I'm younger. It's not like when I got 25 and older, I mean, I realize how awesome my dad is, but he would tell me something, you know, and I wouldn't pay attention, but someone else would tell me, oh, yeah. Yeah, I understand that. I mean, you guys have that happen in your life? You know? Just for some reason, because of the figure, or maybe the status there of listen, you know, a lot of time maybe between sons and dads, maybe there's like a macho thing going on, you know? And you know, you look at our Heavenly Father, and I was thinking of this last night. God tells us in this book, He tells us everything we need to know and all the love that we need to know about Him and what's right and what's wrong and what happens if you do what He says and what happens if we reject Him and stuff. All this stuff's in here. You know that? All this in there. This is the book of truth. But when we read it sometimes, it doesn't really penetrate our heart, or we just think more of a story. I always rather refer to these things in the Bible as events and not stories, because stories sometimes you think it's fabrication, you know, an event, something really took place. But I was thinking, when we look at Jesus, the Son of God, and Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And we talk about what Jesus did and how He overcame temptation and stuff. A lot of times in our mind we can get to the part that, yeah, but yeah, it was Jesus. You know, anybody heard Jesus? No, uh-uh. And so we can say, well, yeah, Jesus did that, Debbie, but I'm not Jesus. And so it can help us build up an excuse, maybe, not to do what we should do. Because, well, we're not Jesus, you know. I'm just the way I am. Been that way all my life. You know, isn't that something we say all the time? Hey, I've been that way all my life. I'm not going to change. Yeah, I've said that before. And I've been wrong before, too. And so, well, I'd look at Luke chapter 10, verse 2 a second. I've got a couple of things I want to share this morning. We celebrate the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. In chapter 10, I'll start with verse 1. And just a couple of verses here. Jesus is speaking. And He says, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of Him to every city and place where He Himself was going to come. And He was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Okay, just pray to God, send somebody out into the fields to harvest in the souls. And I know in our prayer life, we pray several things, and one of our prayers is a prayer of salvation. We intercede for people to come to know the Lord. And one of the part of the prayer is God to send people across their path that will speak to them in such a way that they receive the good news of Jesus and come out of the darkness and into the light. Send workers. And the Bible says to do that, to pray for it. Okay? Those that you're trying to reach, you can't reach. Okay? Okay. You're not going to reach everybody. But there's somebody out there that needs to know Jesus that we can pray them across their path. Okay? Same across our path. Because people won't listen to you. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes they know your path and they say, well, I know what Rick used to do all the time. Yeah. What kind of flag maker is he, you know? And so they won't listen to him. But someone else they will listen to. It's like I said earlier when we talked about Jesus. And look what Jesus did. And look how he overcame the temptation. And man, he raised the dead. And he healed the sick. And we can get in our mind, wow. Yeah, it's cool. But that was Jesus. So that's why I loved reading about Brother Paul. Used to be Saul. His name is Paul. Hey, there's a rhyme going on there. But I want to step back into what we were talking about last week for a moment. Romans 7, verse 15. Because I see this as bringing a worker across our path. Okay? When I look at the scriptures, I read about Peter and John and all of them in the Bible. I look at him as partially as my spiritual father. A spiritual father birthed into you. Amen? And so when you read about Paul, you read about what Saul did, we read all this, they're like those who came before us, and they're giving us wisdom. They're giving us strength. They're telling us where they come from. You know? One thing about my dad, I loved about him, that he would tell me the things in life that he should have done different. Okay? Now, I wasn't one of them, so I think my brother was, but I wasn't them. No. But he would share with me. He wanted me to succeed, whatever I wanted to be, but learn from his mistakes. You know, and I don't know too many mistakes my father ever made, but there's a couple things he would have done different in life. And I appreciate him sharing that with me. Well, I believe as I read here and I look at what Jesus says here, he says to send out workers. To send out workers. It's the harvest out here. And I believe Paul was such one because we're not looking at Jesus. We're not looking at the Son of God. We're not looking at the one who had the complete anointing overflowing. Okay, he brought it down to earth. He brought it down to a man who at one time was out persecuting Christians. He was putting them in jail. He stood there, we read last week, and he watched Stephen being martyred, put to death. He stood there and he enjoyed it. He thought, man, he's doing the right thing. You know, a great big sinner. The next thing you know, you find out he's on the road to Damascus. He's going to arrest some people. And he meets Jesus. And boom. Off the horse. He's blind in 3 days. His eyes are open. And he starts following the master. Do you know what I read, the study? It's about 11 years from that moment to really before he stepped into the ministry big time. 11 years of gleaming and learning. You know, a lot of folks right away didn't trust him anyway. You know, yeah, we know who he is. You know, I'd be like, I'd be like you all been a bunch of Hell's Angels in here, okay? Just for a moment, okay? I walk in here. Hey, ain't you a cop? No, I quit. I'm not a cop no more. Well, how many people are really going to say, oh, come here then, buddy? No, like stay away from him. No, we don't trust them, you know. And that's what Paul ran into, you know. He went from one extreme to the other, and he had a difficult time. People didn't want to receive him because they're leery of him. You can't really blame him, you know. You know, watch your fruit for a little while, you know. Okay, no longer Hell's Angels now, okay. But Paul started the ministry, and look at all that he did. Look at all that he accomplished because of Jesus. But we was reading last week in verse 15 of Romans 7. Is where I want to plow her just for a moment. He says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I'm not practicing that I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing that I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. The flesh is spirit is willing, but the flesh is not." Some of your Bibles might be reading that. And what he is confessing here, what he is saying, that listen, you know, I know the thing that I should be doing. I should be doing these things and not be doing this other thing, but I still keep doing it. You know? But what he's sharing with us is that, yeah, I come along. I was once a murderer of Christians, but I come to know Jesus. But man, I'm still fighting my flesh. See, we got to understand, when Paul got born again, as we say, as he seen the Lord, he got born again, he no longer went out and killed Christians, okay? He had a new spirit, but he still had the old flesh. And what he is sharing with you and I say, man, there is struggling going on. Okay, he's being honest with us. Yes, I'm a new creation, but I am still trying to bring the flesh under control. Which for us sitting here today, what we were sharing last week, is that you might not quite be there yet, okay? You might not quite be the saint that you're supposed to be yet, okay? But if you want the Lord and you're drawing closer to Him, man, sooner or later, things are going to be different in your life. If you want, and Paul fell in love with Jesus. I mean, when Paul met Jesus, this instant he realized, man, look how awful I am. Look what a sinner I am. And Jesus delivered him from his sins. Wow. And then Paul said, man, I owe my whole life to him. And Jesus said, listen, you're really going to be persecuted for what you did to them. It's going to happen to you. Just give you a heads up because people are going to hate you. But he was willing to share himself. God brought Paul across our path this morning to show you God's love and mercy. You might look at Jesus and say, "Well, I can't do that. He's the Son of God." But look at Paul. Who's a bigger sinner than Paul in here? Amen. Okay, Charlie won. He's the biggest sinner. So okay. So the thing of it is that, you know, we're all sin is sin. Okay. Paul's sin is no greater than our sin. I'm just saying, you look at Paul, what he was doing. Man. Well, if he can be born again, receive a new spirit in him, and then confess, hey, listen, I'm on this road. I'm on this road following Jesus, okay? I'm still fighting myself. I'm still doing the stupid things I don't want to do. Still doing the things I want to do. I don't do enough of it. But he wasn't giving up. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Amen? So how do we not be conformed? How do we quit fighting this flesh? How do we get this flesh under control? Is get ourselves out of this world where we are hanging out at. Not for us to leave this world, but quit playing in the world is what he's saying. Okay? And really, Brother Paul did. I mean, sometimes you have a choice because nobody wants around anyway. Okay? But again, walking with him, and finally he'll tell you. He'll show you that as he walks with the Lord and draws closer to him, the flesh comes under control. He's no longer what he once was. And that's our determination. That's to be the same way. Think of that. We're all probably at different stages of our walk. But we got to look at ourselves today, and do you see a difference in your life today than you did last year, 5 years, 10 years ago? Are you satisfied with your life today, the way it is? I get one amen, I get one no. You know, we should never be satisfied. You know what I'm saying? I believe every Christian, as a following master, and they keep falling short in their spirit. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man. Even though the Father's looking back at us, saying, man, you guys are awesome. You're doing good. Okay? But if our desire is to please the Lord, if our desire would be like Christ, and we can do it. Brother Paul is a prime example. Okay? If he can do it, we can do it also. I mean, Paul spent his time in prison for Jesus. Locked up. And he wrote all the epistles, these letters, to encourage other people. I mean, it'd be like last week, sitting there with all my soft stuff in my life, wiped away, and writing letters to others to encourage them. That's what Paul was doing. You know? And we can do the same thing. God wants us to do the same thing. Is get rid of the flesh and live within the Spirit. And those are the things this world take us down, you know? But that's a key thing. Is not allow the world to have access to us, to have control over us. You know? Don't be more like the Lord. Want Him to do more in our lives and through our lives. Do what Jesus did. He hung out with God more. Do what Paul did. You know, in the Word and following the Lord. You know, God gives a lot of awesome promises and stuff of His children. I know we can gather here at times and not sure what we're going to do next. Or is God really with us? Did God forsake me? Did He leave me? Did He turn His back on me? No, you're right, Charlie. He never does that. We start feeling that way. We start feeling guilty just because most of the time we're not in the Word like we should be, like we want to be. Okay? Our prayer life is suffering because we're not taking that time to pray. And so we start feeling that absence in our life. It's a good thing. In a way, it draws us back to Him. It's not God condemning us. It's ourselves. When you become born again, the Spirit of God lives in you. And that Spirit has to feed off the Word of God. That Spirit has to be connected to God. Otherwise, it's starving. You know, it gets hungry. And it's kind of like in heaven. You know, Adam and Eve was addicted to God. They had that connection. They had to have that every day, that connection. And when they sinned, that connection broke. And that addiction had to be filled with something. Look what happened. Evilness. So when you get born again, you break that addiction to evil. You break that in your life. You got a new spirit in you. But for that spirit to grow and strengthen and give you power over the enemy, it has to be fed. It has to be worked out. It has to be... got to be encouraged through prayer, through fellowship, through reading the Word. You know, let it grow more and more. Because the church, I say this all the time, but the church hasn't seen anything yet. I really believe the greatest days of the church is right around the corner. The greatest movement of God ever is going to be taking place before long. And man, we're going to be in the middle of that. For those who are longing and wanting and want to be part of Him. You know, I remember my son Ryan, I remember when he joined the military. Man, it wasn't even boot camp yet. He had several months before boot camp yet. He signed up before he got out of high school. And I remember him being out there running and jogging and riding bicycles and working out, preparing, because he knew that once he got to boot camp, whew, it ain't no fun. Okay, he knew they were going to demand on him, so he started preparing before he got there because that way he would be successful. Okay, and that's the same with us. You know, we want to be successful with the Lord. We need to continue not just preparing for what's coming down the road, but preparing for the day. You know, not to sit back waiting while is it October and November the things don't happen. Now today is the day of salvation for somebody. Today is a day for your relationship with God to grow more and more. Today is more for yourself to surrender more to the Lord and allow Him to fill you in every aspect of your life. You know, and be whatever God's called you to be. As I shared last week, and it's a cliche, but bloom where you're planted, right where you're at. You know, the people see what God is doing in your life. But He says, you know, He doesn't want you to give up. Amen? Galatians 6:9. He tells you right there in Galatians 6:9. He says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. And folks, we all need that encouragement. Every one of you need that. I know that. don't get tired of doing good. Remind yourself of that. But at just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up, guys. Don't throw the towel in. The blessing you're going to reap is going to be that loved one coming to Jesus. Amen? Or someone around the block is going to come around and come out of the darkness to the light. Jesus is the hope of the world. And Jesus lives in you. That makes you, with Christ, the hope of the world. Amen? And there's people out there that will continue to need us like never before. But in order for us to reach out and help them, we need Jesus like never before too. We need His. We just need to surrender more to Him to be more of His feet, His hands, His mouth. You know? And don't be fearful, He says in Isaiah 41:10. So don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Okay, God. You don't want me afraid. I won't be. I know you're with me. You know, when you know you're doing what God's called you to do, there's nothing to be fearful of. Lord, just strengthen me for today. I know you called me to do something today. Lord, just be... Use my mouth today, Lord. You use it, not Satan. Let me be a blessing to somebody today. And I tell you, as you all know, when you bless somebody, whether it's words of encouragement or whatever, it picks you up, doesn't it? You know, Penny said earlier, you know, some of us, we needed outside help this week. Other of you all did outside help to other people. Okay? It's a blessing. It really is to be able to help somebody, knowing that God used you to make a difference in somebody's life. Isaiah 40:31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Remember, it says, but those who wait upon the Lord will find new strength. Those who wait. God hasn't answered your prayer yet. God hasn't given you that decision yet that you've been seeking. Okay, continue to wait. You know, sometimes you say, hey, I prayed about this a couple of times. I haven't heard nothing back from God. I'm going to go ahead and do it my way. Amen? You ever say that? You ever get tired? Yes. And he said, wait. Those who wait upon the Lord. Always remember, you know, we're in right standing with God. We're righteous because of Jesus. So He's going to hear your prayers. Amen? So when you pray, and you're praying what the will of God is, trust that He hears it. Now, be patient. Because what is God lining up over here? You know? I'm trying to think of a scenario. Well, when you pray in the name of Jesus, you know, and we claim His word is true, we claim loved ones for the kingdom of God because He declares that, okay? He is our inheritance. But if I wanted, $20 today, I'll use $20. Fernando's got plenty of money. If I wanted $20 today, Lord, I need $20. I need gas money today. Okay, I'm praying God seek me out. And I'm waiting for it, you know. Well, God's going to use Fernando to give me that $20. But He can't give me the $20 until Bob gives Fernando $40. Okay? And Bob can't get it until his mom gives it to him. You're sitting beside him. Okay, see how it goes? What I'm saying is, Lord, I need $20 today. You always buy my needs. I speak out the scripture like you're saying, Lord, I tithe off everything I have. I give. You give back to me, press down. So, Lord, I need that $20 today. And I know it's coming for the fuel. And then I pray and I'm done. So what happens next is Mom to Bob, Bob to Fernando, Fernando to me, to line things up. Amen? Just to be patient in that. And then sometimes, We can box ourselves in before prayer. Yeah, I need $20 for gas. No, what do I really need? Gas. Lord, I need gas to get to work tomorrow. So whether it comes in money or a fuel tank comes up here, well, God, you bless me with a siphon hose. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we can pray, oh, I want this, and miss the blessing because we're praying such a way that God won't answer it that way. He'll answer it a different way, and we'll miss it. I guess it'll be that way. So if I'm praying, Lord, I need gas for work tomorrow, Fernando comes up to me and here, $20 for gas. Oh, thank you, Lord. Or he comes up to me and says, oh, Pastor, I don't have any money, but I got a fuel tank at home. Let's go pump some gas in there. You know, it could be open minded to, you know, and so just knowing that to wait upon Him, okay? Now, if you're praying over something, and boy, you're just not getting an answer, go back and check your motive for praying. Am I praying the way God would want me to? Am I selfish in praying? Or should I be praying a different way? And sometimes a prayer partner, okay? But waiting on the Lord, just having confidence that He's hearing you. Right, amen. Exactly. I mean, if His ways and His timing was ours at the time, our life probably would be messed up pretty decent, you know, because we are in maybe it's always been this way, but we're in a generation where we want it now, and we want it now. I mean, and we need to wait upon the Lord because He knows what's best for us. Mm. God delights in us, He tells us in Zephaniah 3:17. And that's not one that's spoken about too much, Zephaniah. Anybody find it yet? It's kind of close to the New Testament, so. 3:17. And it says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He's a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Mm. So sometimes when you think, does anybody care about you? Yeah. There's somebody that does, and that's God. Amen? He delights in us. Just the way you are. I'm not saying we're not changing for Him, but you don't impress God with your clothing or automobile or fancy speech or just who you are. Everything, you know, if you have a fancy car, it's awesome. But it doesn't impress God. What impresses Him is just yourself being who you are. You know? I get two more yet. Okay, Carol, Red, turn your mic on for me to hear you.
He will be quiet in His love. That's why we have to still ourselves in His presence to hear His love, because He's quiet. He has a gentle voice.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. Be still and be patient. That's two things that husbands don't have, do we? Then God reminds us also in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So otherwise, we'll be continuing to grow and grow and grow. Every trial we see, we go through, use it for a chance for growth. Kind of like what we did earlier when we looked back at this past week and like, okay, we weren't too happy losing power and stuff, but we made it through. What to kind of do different for the next time? Amen. Letting it grow. Just and taking opportunities. And one thing we noticed was how quiet it was outside, other than the generator, but just opportunity to slow down a little bit. What's that? Oh, see, we have solar panel. Are you quiet? No. You're right, and chainsaws. Should be abundant of firewood this year, I'll tell you what. Amen. And the last one today is in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This is some of the promises our Heavenly Father gives us to bring His children. And He uses us, other people, to encourage us with, you know. Paul had been through it, Timothy. But they come through it, and they document a lot of stuff for us to read, to encourage us. Be the same way when someone here gives a testimony, and you know, it's not a testimony coming from a TV church. Nothing wrong with TV church. I'm saying that it's in Texas, maybe, or California. But when someone gives a local testimony here among the congregation, it doesn't really encourage you. You think, oh man, you know, I know where they come from. Or wow. Starkey got born again. Wow, I remember him. You know, he just made it more personal, and he gives encouragement, you know. Most of us in this room, when we testify, we have no problem speaking about our deficiencies at one time or another. Amen? We're not afraid to say, man, this was me at one time, but look at me today because of the grace of the Lord. You know, I got a new life. I got vision, you know. And so we receive it a lot. Understand a lot greater than someone at a distance, like, yeah, we don't really know them that well. Even though it's a great testimony, maybe it's just more personal when we do in fellowship. But in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. But don't worry about anything, he's trying to tell us. Is that easy to do? Well, it's that part everywhere you got to train yourself. Amen? When you know how much God loves you and He cares for you. Trust in Him. And that's the key word, is to always trust in the Lord. I want to check another version here. Yeah, mine, the other word would be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, and we'll leave it with this today. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is a good report, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, Paul says, and the God of peace will be with you. And while I tell you, if we can concentrate on that, it makes a difference in our lives, you know. Well, we need to know the news. I understand that. But we see the news, then we concentrate on what the good things are. And Word of God is good things. Amen. And I was bringing that peace over. Yeah, I know what's going on. Like we said earlier, we knew what Matthew 24 says. We know what the end times are at. We know what the birth pains are. Okay? But we know what God says. You know? He warns us ahead of time. So let me be His hands, His feet, and His mouth to share His love wherever we go. Amen? Amen.